On the wrong side of Tinseltown, only BFM's man on the street knows where to go for the real scoop. It's Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
Good friend, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Well, just sad to hear of the passing of Aretha Franklin.
Yep. Sad day.
Sad day, but otherwise pretty good. Yeah, good. How about you?
Yeah, I'm getting there. Pretty quiet week over here, apart from all the usual. The Meg opens this week in New Zealand, does it not?
I think the Meg opened last night, I think. And what about those numbers? What about that's just smashing things, isn't it?
Yeah, it's making a lot of money, which is good, because I think Hollywood needs all the encouragement it can get to make more big shark movies. The fact that there isn't a Jaws 5 really bothers me.
I was on the project last night, and we were talking about the Meg, and Jesse said that there's never been a shark movie that wasn't successful.
That's completely incorrect.
Is it?
There's millions of unsuccessful ones.
Which ones?
Maybe he means there hasn't been a major studio release.
Yeah, I guess that's what he means,
I mean, Jaws 4, The Revenge, no one's calling that a success.
But did it lose money?
Deep Blue Sea was not a hit. Deep Blue Sea's lack of financial success.
Was that a shark movie?
It got in the red. Do you not remember Deep Blue Sea?
But was it a shark movie? Like they have shark in the title,
It couldn't have been more of a shark.
It was actually. I remember that one. Yeah, that was all right.
I guess it comes down to how you define success. I mean, perhaps these films got into the black, although studio accounting would have us believe otherwise. But when Deep Blue Sea came out in 1999 and didn't set the world on fire, it kind of derailed then plans for a Jaws reboot.
Oh.
So I would like to call Jesse's assertion and to pass.
Call that a mulligan if you like. So the Meg, why so popular? What's so special about it?
It's not amazingly popular. It's making money. People are going to see it, but it's not a very good film.
That's what I'm asking you. I'm asking my friend, the film critic, about it right now.
I thought this film tried to be. It can't decide if it wants to be silliest. Can't decide if it wants to be silly or serious. And it ends up just being silliest, which is a little bit of both and not quite successful enough in either regard. The film really strains to come up with reasons for people to get in the water. And a film like this shouldn't have to do that. And when it's all about scale, there's not really one moment in the Meg where you really get a sense of the shape and the size of the shark. It's all glimpses in a way that's not Hitchcockian restraint, but rather they couldn't quite knuckle down an exact look for the shark. And I found that frustrating. If you're going to make a film about a giant shark, let us see it and let us know how big it's going to be.
Isn't it called the Meg because it's a megalod something dog mean some prehistoric sized shark?
Megalodon, yeah.
Yep.
It was a shark that
bird bugger.
Paleontologists believe was actually a lot wider than it's being portrayed, kind of more like a whale shark. But they basically make this one look like a big Jaws. And it's based on a book. I've been trying to make this film for 20 years. It was originally, the book's just called Meg. And up until a few months ago, the film was called Meg. But then someone realized that it sounded like, like a film starring Greta Gerwig or something.
Or Little House on the Prairie or something. Yeah.
Meg.
Sure.
And so they added a the, which kind of, I don't know, that kind of stuff always bothers me. And Jason Statham's good. Cliff Curtis is good. Gets to use his own accent. And he does an all sea-based sci-fi action thriller. He starred in two in the late 90s, Deep Rising and Virus. And in both of those sea-based action sci-fi thrillers, he got to use his own accent, and he does this, so that's nice. And I felt like they worked their way backwards from the idea of this film and forgot to give it a sense of proper stakes or or a driven plot. Like, did you see The Shallows last year, that Blake Lively shark movie?
No, I heard about that. I heard that was quite good.
It was pretty cool, and that kind of defined its world quite well. The Meg, it's kind of like there's a certain point at which they're all going to be fine as long as they don't get in the water. Then the shark's big enough to eat certain boats, but then it doesn't eat the boats that they're on, and it just, I don't know.
I can't imagine if... A shark eating
a
boat's uncomfortable at all, to be honest.
Right?
You love a blockbuster. You love a big monster.
I do. And whenever I criticize a film like this, people are like, oh, come on, it's just a bit of fun. Yeah, it's not for critics, is it? It's for the audience. And I reject that because these films, they should try harder sometimes. And it's nice to spot the, you know, the radar operator with his dodgy New Zealand-American accent every now and then. There's some cool actors in this. But, you know, it's PG-13 American rated, so there's not a lot of blood, hardly any blood at all, actually. Only one severed limb. If you're going to have a shark movie, you better have some cool death scenes. And I couldn't even tell you one cool death scene from this movie. Lots of people get eat, but, you know, sort of, show me a bifurcated torso. Or
yep,
something.
Yep.
You can't.
Something that says. Oh no! Please not me. Please not me next. That's what you need. This is why I like piranhas.
Yeah, they leave a mess.
Well, piranhas. That's you know, true. Piranhas. The top half of your body's above the water, and you're going, hey, what the heck? And by the time you've decided what's going on, you're just bones below the water. But the top half's still alive.
That's kind of more of a Tex Avery idea of what piranhas
are. Yeah. But that's all I know. That's all I know, you know?
But yeah, that's what the kind of death that should be in a film about a prehistoric giant shark. So I was a bit disappointed with this. And also out this week.
Can I just do a shout out to Open Water?
Yeah.
That's a great movie.
Yeah, it's a good film.
That's a good movie. That's a great shark movie. That's a different take on sharks.
Yep.
Scary as all hell.
The Darkest Mind is a YA book adaptation that I saw last week. It's about a world in which all the people in the world die except for like 10%. All the kids die or something. I saw this. I could not tell you one thing that happened in it. It was so forgettable. It was like about teenagers with special powers, and they're like separated into color-coded camps, and then they go on the run. It's about shiny-faced teens fending for themselves. Oh, it was so boring. Also out this week, The Book Club, which is about... a group of ladies who start reading 50 Shades of Grey and start tittering over tea about it. I have not seen that one.
That's it.
Yeah, but Disenchantment is available from this evening on Netflix.
Right.
7 p.m. New Zealand time, according to my calculation. That's the new Matt Groening show.
Of course, of course. That tells us what's the premise of that again?
It's set in medieval fantasy times. It's about a reluctant princess named Bean and her two companions, one of whom is a little elf named Elfo, and the other one is a personal demon named Lucy. Now, do you remember in the very early days of The Simpsons, Maggie used to watch a show called The Happy Little Elves?
Yes.
They kind of have taken that and run with it a little bit for Elfo.
That's pretty cool.
And, yeah, I interviewed Matt Groening for this. My article was in yesterday's New Zealand Herald, and you can read it online if you want. It was amazing talking to Matt Groening, one of my all-time heroes. It was funny. In the middle of our conversation, he was like, I can smell cannabis. Oh, well, I guess it's legal now. UTV critics. And I was like, hey, man, it wasn't me, man.
Oh, that's neat.
That was just kind of funny. But, yeah, that's still what I'm stoked about at the moment.
Awesome, brother. All right, thank you. Have a great week.
Thanks,
I'll speak to you again this time next week.
Sure, see you then, mate.
Bye-bye.
You'll be listening to Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
He's so into it, eh?